you told The Guardian that Victoria's mental health care system is crumbling, threadbare, overwhelmed and obsolete. How and why is it in that state?
Well, it goes back to the 1990s when the government, in common with governments around the world, basically closed the old 19th century Dickensian asylums, you know, which were well past their use-by date, and attempted to build, you know, a more modern system integrated with general health care. So all the beds were closed, or a small amount of beds were put into general hospitals, and they promised to build a proper community-based mental health system close to where people live, which was, you know, supposed to be, you know, well-funded and able to respond to the needs of the people, especially for the more serious forms of mental illness, and which used to be put into the old mental hospitals. And they started off to do that, but they completely failed, you know, in every state and territory to do that. And so what you have now is a situation where there's the GP and maybe the psychologist working with the GP. And then between that, which is like a primary care level problem, which is suitable for sort of mild problems, and the hospital, the emergency department of the hospital, is virtually nothing. You have private psychiatrists, but they have reach of many people because of cost. And we just don't have this, you know, promised multidisciplinary, holistic community mental health system. The one thing that they needed to do to make that reform work has not been done. Victoria used to be the highest per capita funder for mental health care in Australia. Now it's the lowest. But every state has failed to do this. And as a result, we're seeing more and more people, the missing middle, we call them, unable to get care except when they're in life-threatening situations, or many of them ending up homeless and in jail for no good reason. So it's a national scandal, really, what's happened. And Victorian Premier is the first political leader to admit this is actually the case.
Yeah, right, okay. I guess, does that kind of more broadly relate to the rest of Australia's mental health care system as a whole, or is there a few other states that are doing something a little bit different?
Well, it's, you know, I would say it's like comparing, you know, in developing countries, say Botswana with Lesotho. You know, New South Wales might be slightly better than Victoria, but they're all pretty threadbare, really. The World Health Organization recently stated that when it comes to mental health care, every country is a developing country. In other words, even the richest countries are neglecting this issue in a serious way, and Australia certainly one of those.
Yeah, right, okay. Daniel Andrews announced that Labor would establish Australia's first Royal Commission into healthcare if they're elected. How would a Royal Commission improve the state of mental health care?
Well, some people have criticised this decision because they say we already know what to do, it's absolutely obvious what we need to do, and in some ways that's true. In many ways that's true. However, you know, unless you actually make the issue very crystal clear and public to the whole community, and then agree through, you know, a society-wide consensus on the solutions. My experience is that nothing really happens. You get band-aids and confetti, and you don't get sufficient investment and serious reform. We need reform. We need a redesign of the community of the whole public mental health system, not just a few patch-ups and band-aids. And we need billions of dollars. You know, and currently we're seeing, you know, at best millions. So the order of magnitude and the degree of reform that's needed can only be generated by things like Royal Commissions or Productivity Commission inquiries.
Yeah, okay. There's quite a wide spectrum of mental health issues that are definitely going on, such as depression and anxiety, all the way to psychosis and other things as well. But my understanding is when someone goes to a doctor and they, you know, mention that they're got some mental health issues, probably that the doctor gets a questionnaire out, and then judging by the numbers on that questionnaire, they kind of refer them either to a psychologist or they recommend them to start taking a drug. If you could change only one thing about the current mental health care system and procedure, what would it be?
Well, I think, you know, what you just described at the primary care level, it's a little bit formulaic, isn't it? You know, tick the box type, you know. I would just like to see people related to in a human way, in a compassionate way, and really trying to understand the depths of the problem in a holistic sort of fashion. And then, you know, then you respond in a proportional sort of way. So if it's a mild problem, if it's a bit of a crisis, you know, relationship breakdown or something, or, you know, just a short period of depression, which is uncomplicated, well, probably simple measures, you know, support, education, maybe some CBT or something from a psychologist might be enough to get you through it. But if the problem is more complex, which probably in about half to two-thirds of cases it is more complex, you need to see experts. You need to see people who, you need to see probably a team, you know, a multidisciplinary team, including a psychiatrist in many cases. So that's just simply not available. And yet, you know, probably a significant percentage, you know, maybe at least 800,000, but perhaps even as high as 1.5 million people need that sort of level of care. And probably only about 1 in 3 are currently accessing it.
Right, that's not the number you'd really want it to be, absolutely.
Well, if it was breast cancer or cardiovascular disease or diabetes, that wouldn't be tolerated. Like 100% of those people can get the care that they need.
Yeah, absolutely not. I guess it's just a matter of perception in terms of what's needed straight away, when mental health is can be, you know, extremely dangerous when left untouched or untreated. And it, I guess it also comes down to doctors as well, to a degree, where you get, there's lots of many, many good doctors out there who will literally sit down with the person and say, okay, let's maybe practice some, I don't know, meditation and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. Before getting you or seeing if you need to start taking antidepressants or anything like that. But then there's other doctors that would go, oh, okay, you've got anxiety, let's start this prescription straight away. So is there a change that needs to happen at that primary doctor level as well?
Yeah, I think the level of prescription of antidepressants in Australia is very, very high. And it's because we haven't implemented this, as you say, a sort of step care or staged care approach where, you know, the first step should be more simpler things and perhaps you know, moving through psychological approaches into medication as a sort of second or third step. That's the way we should be doing it, unless, of course, the problem's very complex and severe right at the beginning, you know. But, yeah, I think we know what to do there, but we haven't built the system to do it. I do feel sorry for GPs because, you know, a very significant percentage of their practice is mental illness and mental health related. But they get very little backup, you know. If the problem does get beyond a certain level, which in many, many cases it does, there's really nowhere for them to draw on for support and help. You know, the system just falls away, and that's what we started off talking about, how governments have really failed to build that next tier of care.
Right. So how did you feel when you heard that the news that Labor was planning to launch a Royal Commission? I believe Victoria's Premier called you up personally to deliver the news.
Yeah, he gave me a little bit of advance warning and asked me to help by if he's re-elected in chairing the expert panel. So I'm very encouraged that this might happen. We're still waiting to hear what the opposition are going to do. I've sort of spoken to them personally and encouraged them to back this this approach. But they acknowledge the problem is as severe as we've said, and they actually privately indicated that a Royal Commission was probably a pretty positive way to approach it, but they haven't committed to that yet. So I'm a bit puzzled.
Right.
Certainly hope that they will follow through. The Greens have actually endorsed the idea, and I think the independent candidates have as a group too. So I think, you know, the society really expects something to be done, and people need something to be done. The average Victorian needs this to be tackled and invested in heavily.
Absolutely. And it's, I guess, quite a hopeful thing, or I'm sure lots of people are hopeful for it to be, whether or not the Royal Commission gets, you know, a lot of things done. But I think it would just bring a lot of light to the issue that many people might not actually understand or know about the issue as well.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of awareness raising through Beyond Blue and so on over the years, but it hasn't it hasn't exposed the fact that, you know, when we're all aware and seeking help in an appropriate way, we can't find it. And that's what needs to be exposed. And also, many of the consumers that have spoken about this point out that as a result of the poor quality care and investment that's on offer, people are sometimes harmed by you know, extreme sort of responses when people are very, very sick. So people, rather than being helped a lot of the time, they're actually not helped at all. And sometimes, you know, their conditions are worsened because of the failure to develop a proper system to help them. So I think telling those stories will show the weaknesses of the current system. And this is not to criticise the clinicians working in the system who are very dedicated and have got an impossible job in many situations. But I think we've got to make the care system safer and more therapeutic, and the consumer stories will be very helpful in that regard.
Definitely. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, I guess, how the election plays out and whether the Royal Commission or something else brings mental health, a very important issue, back into the light so people can understand what's going on and what needs to change. So thank you so much, Professor, for joining us this morning and letting us know your side as well.
No, great to talk to you. Thanks a lot.